If you have your Bible, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23. And two things that you're going to have to bear with me today. Number one, I'm working off a different pulpit. It's not quite as big. We have a little bit of problem in the structure. We've got to do a little repair work on the other pulpit. That creates a problem because I had, 120 pages of notes. I had to cut it down because there's not enough room up here. The second problem that I have today is I also lost my watch this week, so you got two problems this morning. But the third problem I have today is I can't preach all day because dinner is waiting downstairs. Amen. Hallelujah. How many hungry already? All right. Well, okay. All right. We'll preach at least 2 minutes then. Somebody back there in the back, Ken Scott's probably the guy to do it because he's already done it once. When it gets to be, 11:30, might raise your hand. Some of you raising your hands right now. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 23 in your Bible. There's also an insert in the bulletin that you can follow along with. And incorporated into this message, we have something that is going to demonstrate in just a little bit. We're going to do two things. We're going to rejoice with our first fruits offering in these baskets. I'm glad we have lots of baskets because we may have to use them to handle all the offering this morning. And then we're going to go downstairs and fellowship together and feast together. It's an incredible day. And then tonight we're going to gather back at First Baptist at 6 o'clock. Our kids are doing puppets. And Brad Helton will be preaching. First Christian Church will be leading worship. People from all across this city will be gathering together tonight. Last year we went to that community service. It's going to be an awesome time. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says these words, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Number one, we're here today to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We are serving a Lord who is alive. And we're not only serving a Lord who is alive, we are serving a Lord who is alive and poised and ready to come and get his bride. And so today, it's exciting not only to be thankful for one another, to be thankful for our salvation, but to be thankful that Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And there is absolutely no reason, as we've sang these joyous songs this morning, to be disheartened or discouraged or defeated, because Paul says in Romans, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, "I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror." Hallelujah. We're going to talk this morning about the blessing of first fruits. The blessing of first fruits. And the blessing of first fruits is made very clear in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 23. Paul talks about that. You know, Jesus became the first fruit offering. The first fruit offering. I don't know, as you look into the Bible and you study Old Testament versus New Testament, we look into Genesis 22 and we see that Abraham was instructed to sacrifice his only son Isaac. And what a foreshadow of things to come. If you look at Genesis, it talks about that. And then you get into the New Testament and we find out that Jesus became this first fruit offering for us. And today we have liberty, we have life. We do not have to go in the backyard and slay a goat or slay an animal. We have the ability to go into the Holy of Holies. We have the ability to enter his presence. We have the ability to walk right into the very presence of God and thank him. And when we do that and when we praise him, it lifts our spirits up. In fact, Paul talks about renewing the inner man, renewing that inner man with thanksgiving. And I believe today first is so critical and so vitally important. You see, God is first. When we put him first in our lives, everything begins to change. When he's first. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek him first." Seek him first. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've learned, you know, Cornerstone to be polite, and usually I'm last. I wait for everybody else to eat before I eat, and I don't like to be last when I go to restaurants and wait in a long line or get in a long line, whether it's a medical line or restaurant line or whatever. I like to be closer to the front. Don't like to wait around a lot. And this year we went through all of our football practices, and I was getting so tired of watching my son just kind of come in last or next to last in sprints. I was getting tired of watching him come in seventh or eighth or sixth or whatever. And so I thought today I've got to give him a little bit of incentive. I've got to move him up the chain. I've got to get him his motor going. I'm tired of him being at the last leg of. And you know, Pastor asked me this question: is he big? No. Is he fast? No. He said, well, you know, he's got his work cut out for him. We Gambers have never been known as the fastest in the West. So we're getting ready to go out there, and I said, all right, this is the way it is, dude. $100 is yours. You come in first. And internally, I'm thinking, ain't going to happen. $100 is you beat everybody. You beat everybody. I'm thinking inside, it ain't going to happen. I've watched him. I've been out here at the football field. I've watched him. He ain't ever come in first. He beat everybody. He beat everybody. You know what? I didn't make that offer again. Although he hit me up again. He beat everybody. I was like, wow. Wow. Couldn't believe that. You know, kind of had to rub my eyes a little bit. It was just a little bit hard to believe. First. Jesus was the first. The first. The firstborn. The first lamb, the firstborn. So important. How many of you were born first? I mean, isn't there something a little bit prideful about being first? There was for me, because I have two younger brothers. And in two younger brothers, they're never going to beat me in anything. Never. Now, if they were standing here today, they'd tell you that I didn't always beat them at everything, but I did bully them a little bit because I was the eldest. The first. Well, in the Bible, it talks about the first being so important because the first got the inheritance, and the first in the family got the double portion of the inheritance because they were first. I want to emphasize a point here this morning before we move on to these other points very quickly. Jesus has a timeline, and he has everything outlaid in perfect order. And this is what I want to emphasize to you this morning. The very first fruits of your giving is so important. It's today is beyond tithes and offerings. It's going towards partly missions, but it's going towards the kingdom of God and the ministries of the church. And you know, folks, this is what happens when we give God first. We don't give him the leftover. We give him the best. We give him the best. That means that we don't look at our checkbook and go, oh, wow, I don't think I have enough money today to pay my tithe. No, you see, you pay him first, and then what's left over goes towards bills and all the expenses of your home. It's not if I have enough. There is no option. It's first. Amen? It's first. So here's my point this morning. We ought to be so excited about what God is going to do at Cornerstone Church that we ought to be in a wrestling match right up here with Mark Sheridan for this pew. I don't know how many of you could beat him in wrestling, but we ought to be up here. We ought to be the first to get to church. We ought to be the first in line. We ought to be the first. We ought to be the first to lift our hands. We ought to be the first to worship, the first to give. And in just a few moments of time, I'm going to ask all of you to come up here. And I challenge you to be the first to put your offering in one of these baskets. The ushers were asking me this morning, are they big enough? And I said, I hope not. I hope we need more baskets. I don't think they're big enough. Because we're gonna fill it with the first fruits of what God has given us. Now, I'm not talking about literal fruit. I'm talking about the seed that we are going to sow into the kingdom of God. You know, the mamby-pamby attitude that many times we take is, well, I don't have enough money, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. You know, God hasn't called us to a bunch of I don't haves. God's called us to a positive, faith-believing, Bible-based church that believes in positives. Whether you have a job or not is irrelevant. God just says, you just give me what you have. If you don't have anything to give, then give him of yourself today. Amen. Give him the best. Cornerstone Church ought to have the best worship team, the best instrumentalists, the best amenners, the best tithers, the best givers, the best workers in the field and in the vineyard, the best cookers, the best food servers, the best ushers, the best greeters. We ought to have the best. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus gave his life so that you could possess the best life. Amen. It's not a boring life. It's not a dull life. It's an exciting life, an enthusiastic life. What are you going to give him today? Because the Bible says if you will give unto him, he will give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Last night in this church, we had about 50 to 60 people gathered together, a young man who gave his testimony that's been here for 90 days. And I tell you what, at the end of that message he gave last night, these altars were filled with young adults and young people that were hungry for God. That's wonderful. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we get up in the morning, the first thing that we ought to do is praise and worship him and give him the first part of the day. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. When we go to church, we ought to give him our best worship, our best love, our best amen. We ought to give him everything we've got. The Sunday school class, the life group class, we ought to crowd in that room to get in there, to get hungry for the Word of God, to give him the best. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. We're not a defeated church. We're not a wounded church. We may have our problems just like any other church. Just like one pastor said, if I could get rid of the people, I could have church. We're people. We're infallible. We're fallible. We have problems. We have flaws. But in the middle of it, if we will bring people along, disciple them, mature them, and get a hold of what God is doing in our lives, he will give back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He'll not only give you a job, he'll give you a better job. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is not a God of defeat. God is a God of first. He wants you to win in every area of your life. Amen. How many believe today Pastor Bill's not losing? Pastor Bill is winning. He's winning. Hallelujah. And you're winning too. Amen? Hallelujah. This is participation day. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're a winner. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus became the first fruit offering, and we celebrate the resurrection of him. We're going to go on to the next slide. If you guys up there will accommodate me and move on as we continue to celebrate not only the resurrection, but to celebrate the season. I love fall. I love leaves falling. You know why? How did you know that? I don't have any. I have one tree in my yard and it's about 2 feet tall. Hallelujah. He must have driven by my house. Everything, there is a season. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1. There's a purpose. There's a reason for everything. There's a reason why you're here today. You're not here by accident or just because it's the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. You're here for a reason. You're here to celebrate the love of Christ, but you're here to enjoy fellowship with the Lord. There's a purpose for this season. I believe it's the most exciting season for the church. Why do I believe that? Because I believe that we're at the brink of the return of Christ, and it's going to be a wonderful, happy, joyous occasion. I don't believe the trumpet is going to sound, and we're just going to go, oh no, there's the sound of the trumpet. What do I do? I believe we're going up with a shout. Hallelujah. Celebrate the season. You know, every time you go through a seasonal change, you have to do things that prepare you for that season. A couple of years ago, we didn't even have a snow shovel. We weren't prepared for that season. We went to Lowe's. We went to Walmart. We called people. Nobody even had one. Bentonville was closed, and there was no way. So I went and borrowed my neighbor's shovel, and for 2 hours was shoveling snow. I called people in our church to come get me. I couldn't even get out of the road. I really wasn't prepared for 2 feet of snow. But in this season that we are in, spiritually speaking, God is preparing us for what's about to happen. I don't know how you view the TV guide or the TV season. They always come out with these fall shows about this new season and what this is going to be like, and this is going to be different than the last season, and here's the lineup for these shows, and usually they're just as bad as the previous season. 100 and different Survivor shows that I don't care anything about. But Ecclesiastes 3:1 talks about celebrating the season. Well, in the Old Testament, there was this holiday that celebrated the harvest season in Israel by giving thanks for his blessings. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes we wake up and we're just, you know, we're in a foul mood and we kick the cat and it's oh me, instead of just thanking the Lord for the day. The psalmist says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The special season or festival of weeks, the festival of harvest, was known as the Day of First Fruits. The Day of First Fruits. The farmers would harvest their barley crop. And this continued for 7 weeks as other crops and fruits began to ripen. And as these fruits ripened, the first of each of these types would not be eaten. But instead, the farmer would tie a red ribbon around the branch, and the ribbon signified that these fruits were the first fruits. The first fruits. Can you imagine this celebration as they came in with their fruits? Some with raisins, some with seeds, some with figs, some with their baskets packed, others with fresh fruit as they lived a closer distance to where they were going. And they were celebrating the harvest season. My grandfather always celebrated the harvest season, and he would work diligently and methodically and hard in getting all of his neighbors' crops in. Let me tell you, we're right now at the brink of a new season, and this new season is God's permission for us to bring in the harvest, to bring it in bountifully. Every pew ought to be filled with people that we're bringing in to the harvest. Every pew ought to be filled. We should not go to heaven alone. We should gather together our family, gather together our friends, gather together our neighbors, and get ready, because it is harvest time. Every child, every young adult, every teenager, every mom, every grandparent, we ought to do diligent work in preparing the harvest, and God will equip us to bring the harvest in. I believe Celebrate Recovery ought to be full. I believe Wednesday night ought to be full. Sunday morning ought to be full. We ought to just be so packed that we have problems in accommodating the people, because the harvest is ripe. Are you with me? Are you with me? God has designated red ribbons around you that are the first fruits, and they are ripe. The thing that's happening is people are just waiting for you to knock on their door, give them a call, and bring them to church, because they have a red ribbon around their door. They have a red ribbon on their phone. They have a red ribbon on their window. They're ripe. They're ripe. They're seasoned. They're ready. All you have to do is just give them a little touch, a little tug. Come with me next Sunday. Amen? You're bound to hit a Sunday where we feed you sometime, or a Wednesday, or a Friday, or sometime, because we have things that we want to share. Hallelujah. How many excited about the harvest? Hallelujah. Boy, it's a wonderful season. It's a beautiful season. It's a wonderful time to bring that crop in. And the farmers would begin harvesting that barley crop. They were celebrating the work. They were celebrating the work. You know, many times we look at the work and we just think, oh, this is work. This is hard. But you know what? While we are working, while we are diligently busy plowing the field, it's a blessing to be working. It's a blessing to be working in the field. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Just bear with me and we'll go there. Go there in your Bible. I don't think I have it on the screen, but we'll go there in the Bible and find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Look at it with me. Hallelujah. The Bible says these words, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen? The janitor who cleans the church, the person who ushers and greets, the person who makes sure that the meal is ready downstairs today, their labor is not in vain. The person who's teaching that class diligently, the person who's putting up tables and chairs, which we all do need your help in a little while doing that. Your labor is not in vain. Hallelujah. The work that you're doing is not meaningless. It has purpose. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in this work because it has purpose. It has purpose. Let me tell you, the church, when the church is removed, there'll be a missing ingredient. The bride of Christ, the church, is an important ingredient in the world today. It is a part of fulfilling the mandate and the mission of God. Celebrate not only the work, but celebrate the offering. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. We're also to celebrate the offering. Hallelujah. As we worship and praise the Lord and seek His face, it's so important that we celebrate this offering. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and let's look at verse number 9 this morning. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, go there. It's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Just making sure you haven't gone to sleep on me. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now listen to this in verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe the best is yet to come. God is doing a work in the church, and we are to celebrate the harvest. We're to celebrate not only the harvest, but to celebrate the offering. The farmers living close to Jerusalem would bring fresh fruit. And this fresh fruit would be offered unto God, and then those that were living further away would bring other kinds of fruit that would not rot. Sorry, honey, I took the last apple and the last orange. But this fruit was offered as a celebration, celebrating what God had done, giving the law, giving the commandments. This fruit was laid before the Lord, and sacrifice was made, and dancing, and praising, and joyous celebrating an occasion. I believe today it's time for the church to celebrate. If you read Psalm 150, you find out there's something to celebrate about, dancing and singing and making music in your heart with instruments. The church ought to be a church of celebration. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope you guys are getting charged just a little bit. You can't be that tired. We haven't had all that turkey and ham yet, but we're getting ready to celebrate. And as this processional takes place in just a moment, I want you already internally to begin praying and praising internally about the offering that you're going to bring to the Lord as well. The Bible tells us they celebrated the offering. They would dance and they would march to the temple with their offerings. Many times in churches we have to plead with people and beg people, but they would dance, they would march to the temple with their offerings and demonstrate this. This is about what you're about ready to see. Demonstrating their dependence on God for the harvest and for their daily bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Dancing and celebrating. Let's worship the Lord as we dance and celebrate His goodness and thank Him for all that He has done. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, most exciting time that we have ever experienced is today. There's so many good things, so many wonderful things. You can call it the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost or the Feast of Harvest, but it symbolizes God's anointing on the harvest. And I want to tell you something as we prepare to give this morning. I was in my office earlier and getting ready for today, and you have no idea all the things that go in preparation sometimes, but I was reviewing and I was thinking about the harvest. And you know, so many things get in our way, our busy schedules, our busy lives. And I looked at this pile right here, and this pile of yellow paper was names that were put on a piece of paper back in September for Rediscover Church. And many churches participated, and we saw people come in. You know, really shouldn't have to take a meal to get people to come. Really shouldn't. Then, hallelujah, I was looking at piles of orange paper, 274 families of people in Grove, Oklahoma. It says, this is just our area. I don't have a church. You know what Jesus said? He said, the harvest truly is ripe, but the laborers are few. God's just looking for some more laborers to help us get this harvest in. I can't get all these people in. I can't get them all in by myself. It's teamwork. We've got to gather the harvest. 274 families said, I don't have a home church. We got one that they can come to. Amen? These are prayer needs of many, many people on these yellow cards. What is Pastor Mark saying today? I'm saying yellow or orange, doesn't really matter, black or white or green, the harvest is here. You say, yeah, but we're a small town, you know, we're 6,000 people, and there's 20,000 usually in the summertime. Well, I know there's 30,000 or more in the county, probably 90,000 within driving distance of Grove, Oklahoma. I don't know what God's spoken to your heart about through this week and the last 2 weeks about giving and this first fruits offering, but I believe it's going to be great because it's going to fulfill the mandate and the purposes of God. So I want you to stand with me this morning. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to pray over this offering. You thought we'd miss the offering today, didn't you? The second thing that we're going to do is after I say amen this morning, we're going to come and deposit. This isn't a boy-girl contest, so don't worry about that. But we are sowing seed for a harvest. Part of this money will go into missions. Part of it will go other places in ministry at Cornerstone Church. I believe the greatest altar services, the greatest offerings, the greatest worship services, and the greatest sermons are yet to be done. I believe the greatest days are ahead of us. Amen. You say, well, I knew they were going to ask for money at some point in this service today. You know what? It's about giving. It's about giving God our best. Our best. We're going to give you the best time downstairs in just a few moments, eating and fellowshipping together. We're going to give you our best. Let's give God our best. Are you with me? Are you with me? The blessings of first fruits. You see, what we do today is just a deposit of the best that is yet to come. Amen?
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.